Father, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher. Where would we be in this world if you had not left us, had not sent us, Holy Spirit? I thank you, Jesus, you did not leave us as an orphan. You sent us a Savior, an advocate, a defense attorney, the one who stands beside us to teach us and to guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we are asking you to give revelation. We have some information in front of us, but we need revelation from you. So remove the mask from our spiritual eyes. Remove the veil and give us understanding. And I thank you, Father, for continuing to heal and strengthen our brother Noel and his family, Father, and continuing to heal and strengthen Denise and giving her hind's feet, Father. She will walk all over this place that she is temporarily having to walk all over, Lord. And in this place, God, she will have hind's feet and make spiritual progress. In Jesus' name, amen. The prophetic meaning of the Hebrew year 5779. This is the year, the Hebrew year, that started at sundown September the 9th. At sundown September the 9th. Isn't that something? 9-9-19. 9-9-19. I can see Carmen's already chomping at the bit over there. Hallelujah. Let me keep on going before she breaks loose. Hallelujah. Out of the stall. There she goes. Hallelujah. She's off and she's off. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Already thought Shirley was going to be raptured this morning. Carmen's ready to take off out of the stall back there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. The prophetic meaning of the Hebrew year 7-5-5. 5779. Getting excited. 5779. Last year, of course, was 5778. Right? Which meant Chi, the year of life. What does 5779 mean for us as believers? I'm going to touch on this a little bit. Carmen had shared this with me. This is from a blog from Donna DiOrio. Right there on the right side, you see a picture of her. You can find out more about this ministry by connecting with her online if you have any more questions. And she's also going to footnote another gentleman here in this study. She's quoting him some things he's saying. An Asher, Intrater is how you pronounce his name. Intrater. Intrater. So some of these things are coming from a teaching that he has developed, and it's called the Spirit of Grace and Favor. You see that right there, about toward the bottom of your page, okay? So I just want to give you some study references here so you can go back and study this out and look at this. John, you're cold? Oh, you've got to scoot out. That's right. Okay. God bless you and keep you. Thank you for your faithfulness, brother. Thank you for coming and being with us. Have a wonderful day.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, she's giving us a little bit of insight here. Look at the let's break down 5779. 5,000, the Hebrew word there is hey. And, of course, if you take the 400, which is tav, and the 300, which is shin, and you put that together, you get the 700. Thus, you have the 5,700. I'm sure everybody can follow that. Then ayin, which is in some places it's Zayin, Z-A-Y-I-N, but in this particular study they've left the Z off, which is fine, is 70, okay? So you have 5,770, and 9, which is a very interesting number that Carmen is going to teach us about shortly, which is very extremely interesting. Tet is 9, okay? So she's saying, she wants to note here, this is the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. Y'all, this is significant. This means something. Okay. So why do we look at the Hebrew calendar? I'm not Hebrew. Well, salvation belongs to the Jews first. Is that right? Isn't that what Apostle Paul wrote? Right. God made a covenant with Abraham, and that through Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. We're blessed because of that covenant. Okay. You've heard it said before, as it goes with Israel, so it goes with the church, because we're connected with them. You have any questions or concerns or doubts about that? I don't know exactly the scripture reference for you, but it's in the book of Romans. And God says, don't forget, do not be ignorant, to be exact, that it was the mercy of God that caused you to be saved. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he goes on to talk about this mercy. He says that God temporarily blinded the eyes of the Jews so the Gentiles might get in. He said that God took a native olive tree, which is Israel, okay, and he cut a branch off of Israel. He made a cut. And then he took a wild olive tree, which is the Gentiles, or us outside of covenant with God. And God said he took that branch off of that wild olive tree, which represents the Gentiles, and he grafted it in to that native olive tree, to that original olive tree, which represents the Hebrews. And not only did he graft it in, he made it grow. He made a covenant. He made a brand new creation. The book of Ephesians says that he tore down that wall of separation that was between the Hebrews and the Gentiles. And he made one new man, one new people group by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that people group is called Christians. If you're a Jew and you haven't received Christ as a Savior, you're not guaranteed eternal salvation. That is the only way. There's only one way by which a man must be saved, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean that you're going to make it to heaven. That guarantees you eternal life. But we do know that God did, those that came before Christ that believed God, God accounted it to them as what? As righteousness, because they believed God. And God said, okay, you believe me. My son hasn't come yet, but you believe my promise. So I count it you as righteousness. Okay. So they're in the covenant. They're in the covenant God has made. They have been, we will see them in eternity in heaven with the Lord because God accounted to them for righteousness because they believed God and his promises and the forecoming of his, of the Messiah. So said all that to say this, that yes, we have, they're the root. They're the root. Okay? So we follow the Hebrew calendar. We might learn because Jesus did not speak Greek. And he certainly didn't speak English, and he certainly didn't speak King James. I know that's funny, but it's some people are so hung up on the King James translation that's really sad. That if you don't follow the King James translation, you're in falsehood. You're teaching false doctrine. Okay. Well, you know, a good student goes back to the original language in the Hebrew. In the Old Testament, that would be Hebrew. In the New Testament, that would be Greek because that's where they translated it. The English was translated from the Greek into the English language. It was translated from the Hebrew, the Old Testament, into the English language. Sometimes some of the words in there don't exactly say, a lot of times the words don't exactly say what the full meaning of what the individual, when he was writing on the influence of the Holy Spirit, was trying to portray. It was the best English word they could come up with. Okay? So that's why you go back to the Greek or you go back to the Hebrew. Jesus didn't speak Greek. He didn't speak English. The common language in Jesus' day was Aramaic, which is the oldest language known. Aramaic. Okay, so that's why I like the Passion Translation because it goes back to the Hebrew and the Aramaic and will pull things out and give you a really truly deeper meaning of what the scriptures are saying. Yeah. So I said all that to say this, that yes, we study the Hebrew text that we can know because all the Hebrew text that was written is fulfilled in the New Testament, y'all. And you can see a fulfillment of it, like we've been studying about the shadow. This is a shadow. This is a shadow of better things yet to come, which were fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. Some people say, I'm just a New Testament person. I'm not going to read the Old Testament. Well, you're missing a lot of treasure. Yes. God says that a good student digs out from the old and from the new. And you can see how it's fulfilled. And it will bless you when you read this and you see how it's fulfilled in the New Testament. So we have to look at the Hebrew calendar because that's where salvation began. So we look at that and we consider some things prophetically and we see how those things line up in the earth and we need to be a people that stand with Israel.
Yes.
That stand with Israel.
How can you not stand with your root?
You have no substance.
You'll die.
If you have no substance.
You're a branch.
Amen. That's right. That is right. That is true. Okay. So we want to note that also this is the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. So we know that there is a heavy prophetic significance attached to that. And this man, she quotes, this Asher, as sharing in a short video, and there it is, the spirit of grace and favor. If you want to view that, there's a dual prophetic meaning to this year of Israel's 70th birth. Okay, so turn with me to Zechariah chapter 12. And let's read starting at verse 1. Because all of this is good and we'll expound on it as we go forward, okay? Okay. Everybody there? This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. Zechariah receives this word from the Lord concerning the future deliverance of Jerusalem. I mean, there are so many places in the Old Testament that make it plain that if you stand against Israel, God is against you. There are so many places. Choose this day who you're going to stand with. Are you going to stand with the offended over Israel? I'm offended by Israel. I'm offended by what they do. I'm offended by this and I'm offended by that. Or are you going to stand with the blessed? I'm going to stand with the blessed. And if that separates me from some people in the body of Christ, then I'm not sorry. I'm separated from you.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah.
This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. This, I don't want to be separated from you. This message is from the Lord who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. I would believe the Lord is saying, you know, I got some power and authority here. Listen. Okay? I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their enemies to besiege Jerusalem. And Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. This is the New Living Translation. On that day, says the Lord, I will cause every horse to panic and every rider to lose his nerve. I will watch over the people of Judah and I will blind all the horses of their enemies. And the clans of Judah will say to themselves, the people of Jerusalem have found strength in the Lord of heaven's armies, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a flame that sets a wood pile ablaze, or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. They will burn up all the neighboring nations right and left, while the people in Jerusalem remain secure. You know, I got some good sense now. Thank God I got some good sense. I got some good sense to know that if God says this about Jerusalem and Israel, I want to be on that side.
Hallelujah.
I want to be on that side. The Lord will give victory to the rest of Judah first before Jerusalem, so that the people of Jerusalem and the royal line of David will not have greater honor than the rest of Judah. On that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem. The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David. And the royal descendants will be like God, like the angel of the Lord who gathers before them. For on that day I will begin to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. For on that day I will begin to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. Let me tell you about the law of the prophetic that you might not know, or maybe you do know and need to be reminded. The law of the prophetic, when God speaks, His voice is prophetic and it sets something in motion and it keeps on being fulfilled and fulfilled and fulfilled. Now, I know there will come a day in the valley of Jehoshaphat, okay, where the blood will come up to the bridle of the horses. There will be such a war there that talks about in the book of Revelation. But we as a church and those that go in the rapture, like we surely almost experienced today, praise God, we'll review this from a higher view, a lofty view. We won't be involved in that. That's when the Lord Jesus, Lord Sabaoth, will wage war against the nations that have waged a war against Jerusalem and against Him. Okay, so I know prophetically this is going out into, and this is speaking of something prophetically that we read in the book of Jerusalem, the book of Revelation, but also as it goes out of God's mouth, it is just as true today. That any nation today that comes against Israel fights against God. Has anyone been able to destroy Jerusalem or Israel? And it's not going to happen, people. It's not going to happen. But yet we have to choose where we stand. Okay, let's keep on going. I keep on going here. So the law of prophetic, of the prophetic, is it has many fulfillments. So if you get a prophecy in your life, it's not just one time it's going to be fulfilled. It keeps on going. It can be fulfilled many, many times in your life. That's why you don't try to make the prophetic happen. You wait and let God unveils it and makes it happen in your life. And you look back and you say, God, now I understand what that meant. And you can see it fulfilled many times over and over in your life. Okay, that's the law of the prophetic. So it's just as true today as it will be on that day when that battle occurs in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I have a teaching on end time events. I'm going to get to that. I'm still developing it. I got it from my dad, and I'm still developing it. So that's the next thing on my, I believe the Lord had me to do. I think we need to be informed. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Then he says, goes on to say, so this is happening. This is not good here. There's going to be war going on here. Those that come against Israel. But verse 10, here's a dual effect here, okay? Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. I will look, they will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who had died. The sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the great mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the valley of Megiddo. All Israel will mourn, each clan by itself, and with the husbands separate from their wives. The clan of David will mourn alone, as well as the clan of Nathan, the clan of Levi, and the clan of Shimei. Each of the surviving clans from Judah will mourn separately, and with the husbands separated from their wives. Now, I had to read all of that passage. I couldn't just leave it hanging there. But I do want to go back to verse 10. I want to focus on verse 10 here, okay? I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. Now, some of your translations might say, and you can go ahead and flip your page over if you want to. Some of your translations might say that God will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication, right? Some translations might say that. This New Living Translation doesn't say that. Well, I want to share that with you. I want to share that is so beautiful. I want to share what that means, okay? And once again, you have to go back and look up those words in the Hebrew to see what the Spirit of the Lord is really saying here. What does it mean when God says he will pour out a spirit of supplication upon Israel? I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. And we know that will come a day when the leaders of Israel will look upon Jesus, they will see him and they will realize that he was the true Messiah. That will be after they have worshipped, unfortunately, after they have worshipped the false God. The false prophet and the false Messiah that is coming, that they have worshipped him, and then their eyes will be open and realize that he is not, because he will blaspheme God in the temple, and they will realize that he is not the Messiah. And then Christ will appear, and they will look upon him, and they will see, and they will look upon the one they pierced, and they will recognize that this was their true Messiah. But I want to talk a little bit right now about this spirit of prayer and supplication, okay? This is a very beautiful passage, and I believe God can do this now for Israel. I believe there's a lot of Jews that are converting to Christianity in Israel right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we support the Fellowship of Christians and Jews that, and this ministry right here that this paper is from, it also says here that her focus is on the Israeli body of Christ and also on Arabs. that are turning to Christ. The ministry. Okay? So God's going to have from every tribe and every nation. But look at this supplication here. It's number 8469 in the Hebrew. And it means earnest prayer. And it's from another word, 2603. And it means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. To bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. This is what God did to us, for us. Mm-hmm. When we pray and make supplication to God, mm-hmm. and God hears us, God bends down mm-hmm. to hear us. He, the mighty, the supreme, bends down to us, the inferior, and he grants us favor. A spirit of supplication in prayer is a beautiful thing to ask God for. Lord, grant me the spirit of supplication as I pray. What are you asking for? You're asking the Lord for favor. You're asking the Lord, who is the greater, to bend down to you, the inferior, in this situation as you're praying and interceding, and to grant you favor. That's a beautiful, that is very significant here, because God says, At this time when Israel prays to me, I'm going to grant them favor and answer their prayers. Mm-hmm. Y'all, that's big time. That's important. I am pouring out upon them a spirit of intercession, a spirit of supplication in prayer, that when they call out to me in prayer, I will answer. I will answer them with favor. It means to bestow, to employ, to move to favor by petition, or to be merciful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful when God is saying here that I will pour out a spirit of grace or supplication. So we should ask God for that when we're in prayer. We should ask God for that for Israel. We should ask God for that for our family when we're interceding for our lost ones. We should ask God for this spirit of grace or supplication to be poured out as we're interceding, that God would grant us favor, that the petition we're asking of him would be, he would fulfill. Amen?
Yes.
Oh, y'all don't seem very excited about that at all. That is good news, y'all. That is beautiful. That God, who is the greater, is going to bend down and listen to me, the lesser, that God is going to grant me. God, grant me, give me in my intercession, Lord, grant me the spirit of supplication. Grant me the spirit of supplication to receive grace and favor from you. Anybody want that? Come on. Lift your hands right now to God. Father God, grant me in my time of prayer and intercession to you, Father. Grant me, pour out on me the spirit of supplication, the spirit of grace, God, that you, Father, the greater, would bend down in favor to me, God, and show me favor and grant me my petition in Jesus' name. Grant to Israel, God, pour out on them now, Lord. Pour out on Israel now, Father. Let them experience and know the prayer warriors, Father, even those at that wailing wall, Father God, those Jews at that wailing wall, Father, haven't even embraced Christ as a Messiah. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would pour out upon them the spirit of supplication, that they would have an experience with you, God, as they stand there on that wall, God, that they would feel a movement inside of them they have never felt before, Lord, that they won't be able to understand, they won't be able to describe, God, and then send a teacher to them to explain to them what happened, Father, that God, by your spirit, you have poured out upon them the spirit of intercession and supplication to receive favor from you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, right now we pray for our brethren in Israel, Lord. We pray for those that are interceding, God, that are standing in their place and their position, God. Grant them the desires of their heart, God, as they pray and lift up their hands and worship to you, Lord, as they go into intercession, Father, and grant you for favor, God. Ask them, God. Father, petition them, Lord, God. Put in their heart to ask you for the extraordinary, God. Put it in their heart, God, to ask you for the miracles, God, and grant them the spirit of supplication and favor, God, that what they ask you for, Father, they see you fulfill suddenly, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God has made that promise, and we can pray this concerning Israel, that God will pour out the spirit of supplication over them, that their eyes will be open, y'all, spiritually, before Messiah comes, their eyes will be open. They will see he is the Messiah. He is the one my forefathers bruised. He is the one my forefathers pierced. But I believe, God, my eyes are open, and I believe, God, that you, Jesus, that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God before that day comes. Amen.
Amen.
So let's keep on going here. Okay, there's right now, there is taking place right now is Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, there is a dividing people in terms of where do you see yourself in relation to Jerusalem. You are either for Israel, Jerusalem, or against them. So the 70th part of 5779, that is a part of the 70th year of the prophetic reemergence of Israel as a nation, is a dividing line for the world. Y'all, you see it happening right now. You know, Lord, also, Lord, I am speaking to the Lord also, but I'm speaking to you too, that, you know, Israel seems to be about the only friend that America has right now.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Seems to be about the only nation that really sticks with Israel, with America right now.
Yes.
And America sticks with Israel.
Yes.
Y'all, this is not about where you stand politically. This is about the Word of God. This is about that I am to bring the whole counsel of God to this body. I will not stand before God and He tell me that I cowered back and did not speak the truth. I will not do it. I will speak the truth. We want leaders in our nation that will stand with Israel. I'll never, ever, never support any leader that does not stand with Israel. Never. 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 Israel as a nation is a dividing line for the world. It is a blessing or a cursing. Everyone has free will to choose. Are you going to join the offended over Jerusalem, or are you going to join the blessing of Jerusalem? I've already made my choice. I'm over the blessing of Jerusalem. I'm standing with Israel. Asher also points out that just a few verses later in Zechariah 12, we've already read that, there's a very positive promise made by God that is connected to the same time frame, and that is, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will look on me whom they have pierced. Y'all, God's going to deal with Israel and
yes.
Jerusalem. I'm not saying they're perfect.
Yes.
Please understand that. I am not saying, but I'm saying we better leave it in God's hands to do it. We better leave it in God's hands to do it. Amen? God says don't touch them. God says do not touch them. Amen. So at the same time, God is making Jerusalem a stumbling block to the whole world. Isn't it true? Look how many nations got offended when our president moved the embassy, the capital embassy, to Jerusalem.
I know.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Look how many nations got offended. Those that stood with us before got offended. Y'all, Israel is a stumbling block to the world. It's the truth. They are a stumbling block to the world. But we've got to decide as believers who we're going to stand with. Are we going to stand with Israel, or are we going to stand against them? Amen. Y'all shout me down this morning. So at the same time God is making Jerusalem a stumbling block to the world, He is also pouring out in the house of David a spirit of grace and supplication. We see in the same time frame there is cursing, but there is also blessing. Asher notes in this video that even though there are still small numbers of Messianic believers in Israel, there is also something changing among the population, and that it is that more people are open to hear about Yeshua. That's the Hebrew word for Jesus, okay? This is a sign of the Spirit of grace being poured out by God on Israel. Now, there are many things that can be said about the prophetic significance of the year 5779. What that is, and she's saying here that she doesn't have the monopoly on that, you know, that she's not wiping out everything else anyone else said. But there is a dual meaning here and significance because of the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel. And then she begins to go on to speak out, to speak some prophetic things about this year, okay? It is a year that is going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep nations from the goat nations. The sheep nations are the nations that are going to stand with Israel, and the goat nations are the nations that are going to stand against Israel. Amen. Because God said, if you touch Israel, you touch me. Carmen, are you ready to step in?
Yes.
And look at this. Let's look at this number 9. This number 9 is very significant. Before you do that, I'm going to release the blessing. Luke chapter 9, starting... Let's see, Luke chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 23. This year can mean evil and good, y'all. Has a dual meaning. This year, evil and good. We have to decide which side we're going to stand on. Luke 9:23. Okay. I'm going to release this blessing. Then, Carmen, I'm going to release you. If you will take that number 9 and expound it to us, okay? Amen. We better be passionate about something, because if you're not passionate about something, you're going to fall for anything. You better know what you believe in, and you better be willing to stand up for it. And that's what this blessing is about. Luke chapter 9, starting at 23. Jesus said to all his followers, "If you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely, embrace my cross as your own, and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more of true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourself, you will lose what you try to keep." You will lose what you try to keep. "Even if you gained all wealth and power of this world, everything it could offer you, yet lose your soul in the process, what good is that? So why then are you ashamed of being my disciple? Are you ashamed of the revelation truth I give you? I, the Son of Man, will one day return in my radiant brightness with the holy angels and in the splendor and the majesty of my Father. And I will be ashamed of all those who are ashamed of me. But I promise you this, there are some of you standing right here, right now, who will not die until you have witnessed the presence and the power of God's kingdom realm." Father, I bless us, the body of Christ, Lord, with this word, Lord. We choose today, Lord, that we surrender our will and our way to your way, to your will, God. We choose today that we take up what the cross means, Lord. What the cross means is that we surrender to your will, to your way, just like you surrender to the way of the Father. We surrender to your will and to your way. We choose to be your disciple. And Jesus, we are not ashamed of your word. We take your whole counsel of your word and we embrace it. And we are not ashamed to be called your disciple and to be taught by you. Because Father, you said when your Son comes back, that if we have been ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and we have been ashamed of you, Jesus, that so will the Father be ashamed of us on that day. Father, I do not want you to be ashamed of me on that day. We want it to be known of our life that we stood for the truth of your word, and that we stood and that we are your disciples and taught by your word. Thank you, Father, for this precious promise you have given us, that you will claim us to be your own when we stand with you and we embrace all that it means to be your disciple, to be obedient to your word. Amen. Amen. Okay, Carmen.
If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a lot of words. Kathy, you can just stay right there. I'm going to stand. And I'm not really going to expound on 9 as much as I think I must have not understood. I thought Kathy said for me to share on the great and terrible.
You can do that, and I'll go back to the 9.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to do a little bit and try to be just quick but efficient with it. And I am going to give an example of something that happened this week, because I know that our God was angered with it. And let me go back quickly to this one quick thing. I think I've already shared it, but with one of the prophets, back in 2014, this goes back to the year that we're in, and we are in a season, but before the season, we are in a new era. We have stepped into a new era, just like with the Industrial Revolution, etc. They would say new, different eras over. Okay, we are in a new era. In 2014, the Lord had him to speak that when a former president passed away, it was October of 2014, that when a former president passed away, the land would, he either said shift or shake the very day this word came to pass. And then through a media that doesn't give God the time of day at all, announced this. So the word came to pass.
Mm.
The day, November 30th of 2018, when former Elder Bush passed away, that very day is when Alaska had the earthquake.
Mm.
The land shifted and moved. The Lord prophesied to him that and said, when that happened, the body of Christ, we would enter into a new era. Then the Lord announced it through a media that doesn't give him nor the body of Christ the time of day. They said on the day that former President Bush died, they said, this is the end of an era.
My God.
Now, God has always been serious. The word's always been serious. The body of Christ has always been serious. But through our walk, we have not always been as serious as God. We have done things, all of us, we have done things and thought, well, in the natural realm, I can do this and this is okay. God has given me a choice and I can do this. We did it because mama did it, grandma did it, great grandma did it, and on back. And really, truly said in our soul, I've sought God, but really didn't. Because some of the things that we are going through is because we didn't seek God. We did it out of our soul. Because mama did it, great grandmama did it, great great grandmama did it, all my people did it, so I did it. And I really didn't seek God. I did it because it was the way I was taught, and I didn't sever myself from what I was taught and said, Lord, is this really what you want, or am I doing this out of habit?
Yeah.
This year, through the prophets that we trust, that I listen to and write it down, always know to put it up on the shelf.
Yeah.
But just like with this gentleman, his words come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
He said a couple of years ago on Sid Ross show that on one of the years, and I don't even remember now, it was 2015 or 16, that at one time, every state in our nation would be touched with snow. And it came to pass. After he prophesied it out, went, whoa, him and Sid Roth looked at each other and went, that's going to have to be God.
Yeah.
And it came to pass.
My Lord.
That year, every state in our union was touched with snow. Now, I prefaced all that to say, in this new era that we're in, we are truly, if we ever take
God.
Anything seriously.
Oh my God.
This is the year of the beginning of the divide.
The divide.
You are on this side or you are on that side. We cannot play with God. If somebody is against life, if they are against Israel, you had better remove yourself from them. You have got to be divided. Everything that's going on out there, and it looks like it is crazy, and it looks like it's on one side and it's all their fault, you better seek God and ask God. if they do not recognize Israel and they are against life, they are against our Father, and we had better not be joined up with them. There are two paths. Mm. They are going the same direction, but they are two paths. If they are stepped onto this side, they're going to get hurt badly. If we are on their side, we're going to be hurt gravely. This week in New York, they cheered. I saw it. They cheered like they were at a football game and it was their team and they were winning. Late term abortion up to the day the child is to be born. They passed it. They cheered like they were at a football game on that legislative floor.
Oh my God.
When the governor signed that bill. And do you know why he signed it? Because just in case he said it with his mouth. Just in case the Supreme Court reverses Roe versus Wade.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
They cheered. Look it up. I am not lying to you. They cheered. I'm not exaggerating. They cheered. Now, then I listened to what a late-term abortionist said that doesn't do it anymore. They will take a needle.
Oh, God.
And they will go up and they will insert it into that child's brain.
Oh, God.
The mother leaves that clinic with that baby that was just moving around, was just kicking. She then leaves the clinic for 24 hours because the poison that they injected into that baby's head will start dying. And if that baby is still viable, when she gets back, they will insert the needle again. But the hypocrisy, this same governor that signed that is wanting, and I got to re-listen to it because I didn't get all that down because I was so upset. When it comes to somebody in the federal prison that did the vilest of things to people, know it for sure, that's supposed to get a needle, wants to reverse it. I'm going to tell you, we are in the day. We are in an era where we have better, and God, the shaking that's going on, the nastiness that's going on, is God is dividing.
I'm telling you, it's serious.
He is dividing.
Serious.
When Pharaoh tried to go down the path that was meant for Israel, the walls came down on them. God raised up the waters like wall. And Israel went through. It's told us in scripture. I'll find it one day and tell you where it's at. Had they known. It's in Psalms, Isaiah. It's somewhere in there. They didn't know that the path was through the Red Sea. Pharaoh tried to go down that same path. And then walls came. That's a picture of it. You cannot. You have got to make up your mind today that you will not be on anybody. You've got to separate. See, sheep will only feed off of what the shepherd, where the shepherd takes them. They'll only feed off of the grass where the shepherd brings them. A goat will eat anything. Do not be a goat. I'm sorry, that's just the best picture I can give you because that happened this week. It was sickening. It was sickening to watch them cheer like they cheered.
God. Oh my God.
It was sickening. I just sickening. Oh, Isaiah 61:2. Let me show you with the word. Isaiah 61 verse 2. This is where Jesus and Luke has them pull out the rolls of Isaiah, and he comes to this and they get upset with him. Verse 2, the great and terrible day. You're going to be on the great side or you're going to be on the terrible side. It's Two Notch Road and Percival. It's parallel. The only way you can get on the other is to cross over. Mm-hmm. Stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. Stay in this lane. I'm going to tell you, it is a great divide.
Yes, yes.
And it's a day you cannot turn back. Once you start going down that path of the Red Sea, don't you turn back. We are in the end of days. Mm-hmm. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor, and the day of vengeance. Favor, vengeance. Mm. Great, terrible. Now, Okay, I'm just going to let you do 9 so that I can.
I will. Keep on going.
That word and the day is the number 3117. I'm going to be real quick. Y'all need us later. You just have to call me. I'll try to type it out. Might be better. And the day is a phrase. It means to be hot. Means to be hot. It literally means sunrise to sunset, sunset to the next day. A space of time defined as an associated term of time. A vengeance is 5359, but it also comes from the primitive root 5358. To avenge. Take vengeance, revenge, avenge oneself, be avenged, be punished. The great and terrible day. Y'all can write these scriptures down, look at them later, because I just don't want to take a lot of time with what else we've got. Malachi 4:5, Zephaniah 1:14-18, which Kathy touched on that. Revelation 6:17. And what I'm going to go into a little bit more here is Joel 2:31, and then I might read Acts 2:20, or I might do that another day just for sake of time today. Because I just believe that with what the Lord, I just wanted to share that, because there's no better analogy right now in our time with what just happened this week, out of all the junk, that that is what he is telling the body of Christ.
And God's not going to overlook it.
No, he's not.
God's not going to overlook
it. No, he's
that.
Not.
Can you say Zephaniah
once? Zephaniah 1:14-18.
Because I didn't
Zephaniah
give it.
Zephaniah.
No, Zephaniah.
Zephaniah. Zephaniah.
I gave him Zechariah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. 14 through 18.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I was back there counting green.
That's okay.
I was in the green.
That's okay. That's good. That's good. Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo!
I like it.
Okay. Now, okay, those are just my notes for something else. Okay. All right, Joel 2:31. I should have had that marked already. My Bible's so worn. Let me go there and read it real quick. All right, Joel 2:31. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. We've been having a lot of blood moons lately, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Great is 1419. From the root, 1431. That word great means large, great in number, intensity, loud in sound, distinguished. From the primitive root, that 1431, it's to grow, become great or important, promote, make powerful, praise, magnify, do great things. Okay? The terrible is 3372. It means to fear, revere, be afraid, to cause astonishment and awe, be held in awe. Now, to inspire reverence or godly fear or awe. All right, that's what terrible. Let me give you examples. I saw this so much clearer when I went to these examples. Exodus 14:13. Let me be reminded what account that is. This is where they're going to go through. Moses told the people to fear not, to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord your God, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you'll never see again. Amen. Again, it was terrible for them.
Right.
But the definition where it says to inspire reverence or godly awe, they were in, look what God did with our enemy. Fear for them, terrible, is not the same fear if you're on our path.
That's right.
Our fear is a reverence of,
yes.
Look what God just did. Yes. And you're sitting there going, whoa. He drowned all of them in that water. They cannot ever chase us again. They're gone. Okay? Now, the other, let's see. All right, that was 14:13. Now let me look at this other. Okay. And then 14:31, just, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did against the Egyptians, and the people reverently feared the Lord and trusted in. So that terrible is two fears, two types of fear. The bad is going to come on, and the reverential fear of awe. We're in a divided time. Make sure you're divided the right way, God's way. Now, one other example. Exodus 1:17. Oh. Yes. Listen. 1:17. 1:17 and then 1:21. Ah, Lord, because if you go to 15, the king of Egypt said this to the Hebrew midwives. What happened? Oh, my God, my God, my God. When you act as a midwife to the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stool. If it's a son, kill them. But if it's a daughter, keep them alive. But they divided their cells properly.
That's right.
And look what God did. This was a good example. Scripture that backs up what the Lord is telling us today. But the midwives feared God.
That's right. That's right.
It was a good fear from that same word, that definition. Whew. They feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded, but let the male babies live. Verse 21. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. Hallelujah. 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 I have more to share. I think just as time goes on, I'm going to leave this for Kathy to finish now so that we can go on. I think that's enough. I think that was clear. Praise God.
Yeah.
It's a great, and we are in a great and terrible day.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about when, remember when the enemy was coming against God's people, and Jehoshaphat sent the praise and worshipers out, and they mm-hmm. praised God for his mercy endures forever. Mm-hmm. When God took action, it saved his people, but it destroyed his enemy. Mm-hmm. So see, there's two sides. Mm-hmm. There's sides of God. There's a side that's going to take...
Same bill, or same coin,
yes,
but it's a two-sided...
Same value. And there's this is a year where there's going to be a distinction of two paths. Mm-hmm. This is a year of dividing. Amen. There's going to be this, and God is sending us warning. He's sending, he says he doesn't do anything unless he tells his servants first. Those who fear him, he tells them first.
Yes.
So God is sending us a warning through the prophets by studying out this year and looking at it. If you look at your notes there, you see that emblem there on the back page. There's a good side and there's a bad side. Mm-hmm. The good side is the serpent. Their bad side is a crowned man with the sword of the Spirit. And it comes down to, am I surrendered to Christ? Am I ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Am I going to stand up for what's right, regardless of what people think about me or how they treat me? Or am I going to bend and compromise so that I will be liked?
How can you tell the difference between the symbols?
I don't know that. We're going to have to study out as we go forward.
Carolyn.
We're going to have to study it out. But the point is, Carolyn, that this year, there's two different sides. There's a good and there's the evil side.
There's the same symbol, though, right?
Yes, same symbol. Right. Mm-hmm. Just like Carmen made the same distinction between Two Notch Road and Percival Road. They run parallel, right?
Yes.
If you're on Percival Road and you want to get on Two Notch Road, you're going to have to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're on Two Notch Road and you want to get on Percival Road, you're going to have to cross over.
We're
going to have to decide as believers, am I going to be true to the Word of God and what God's Word says about any or every given situation? It is a very serious matter. Not only did I give you that reference this morning about the sheep and the goats, but also there's another reference in Matthew chapter 13 where Jesus says, he gives the parable of the wheat. Remember, he says that a farmer was sleeping at night and someone came into his area and sowed wheat, tares. Mm-hmm. And then the tares and the wheat grew up together and it's hard to separate them. And the tenants of the farmer's property said, you want to go out and get the tares, and the owner of the property said no, because if you pull up those tares, you're going to get the wheat at the same time. Don't do that. And then Jesus gives a prophetic meaning of that in Luke chapter 9 when he says, I, the Son of Man, will one day, starting at verse 26, and study this out for yourself, Luke chapter 9, study that out for yourself. It's going to start at verse 24 and it's going to go through 30. But I'm going to read this for you. I, the Son of Man, will one day return in my radiant brightness with the holy angels and in the splendor and majesty of the Father. He's explaining this parable. And I will be ashamed of all of those who are ashamed of me. Actually, I'm reading to you from a different passage. I'm sorry. Matthew 13. I apologize.
Okay.
I apologize. That's my fault. Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. I was reading from Luke. I apologize. Matthew chapter 13. About the wheat and the tare. Okay. Chapter 13 here. Let's go down to verse 24. Over to 24. This is the parable about the wheat, the seed, the wheat and the tares. And Jesus is explaining this parable. Let's start maybe at verse 40. And the weeds are bundled up and thrown into the fire, so it will be So it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his messengers, and they will uproot everything out of his kingdom. All the lawless ones and everything that causes sin will be removed. And they will throw them, meaning his messengers, his angels, will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will experience great sorrow, pain, and anguish. Then the godly ones will shine like the brightness of the sun in their Father's kingdom realm. If you are able to understand this, then you'd better respond.
What did you just read from? What scripture?
Matthew 13.
13.
Yes, starting it. I didn't start at verse 24, but you can start at verse 24 where Jesus explains the parable of the wheat and the tare. But my point this, Jesus says, if you are able to understand this, then you'd better respond. This is the time where we better respond. Okay, I'm just going to note a few more things, then we're going to move on, okay? Yeah, you might say, well, this isn't a very cheerful teaching today. Well, you know, we've got to know the truth. We've got to know the truth. This is what this Hebrew year stands for, that there is going to be a dividing. Y'all, do you ever reach a point in your life where you ever wonder, God, how long are you going to let wickedness go on? God is a God of justice. He's going to take vengeance, y'all.
Yes.
God is, don't think these things that God said through one of the prophets, you think I'm like you because I didn't do anything because of your sin. But God said, there's going to come a day. And I think it's gotten to the point where some things in America, where our leaders or people that aren't even leaders that do evil things and think they're going to get away with it, they think that God, because God's not doing anything about it, that God is on their side. What they're doing is okay, but it's not okay.
No.
And God is going to take action and vengeance against it. We want to stand on the right side. One quick thing that I want you to read over this and study it for yourself is significant about the number 9 in this year. That number 9 is very significant because the number 9 is not used very many times in the Hebrew scripture, but it is used in Genesis 1:3 where God created, God said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness. The key word there is separated. Separated means to divide, to distinguish, or to differ. That God separated, God still makes a difference between darkness and light.
Yes.
The number 9 there is significant because it speaks that there is going to be a separation in the earth like we have never seen before. Where evil is going to get even more evil. Come on. Mm-hmm. And good is going to be even more good. But God is going to protect those that are standing on the right side.
Midwives.
Amen. God is going to protect those.
Life.
So, I would not be worth my salt or worth my time or worth anything if I knew something that was good for us and withheld it, right?
That's right.
This is good for us.
Yes.
I'm going to encourage you to study this out. Look more into this. Yes, there's a lot about that emblem there that I don't understand. But it represents both sides, and that number 9 is key there. And there's a lot more we could say this morning that I'm not going to say, but it is. I'm not going to say it right now, but it is a year of separation where we're going to have to choose. We are going to have to choose individually who, what we're going to stand for. Regardless, choose this day who you're going to offend.
Yes.
Would you rather offend God or rather offend man?
Yes.
You have to stand on the side of what is right and what is true. How do I know what is right and what is true? Right here. Right here, God's
yes.
word. If it doesn't line up with God's word, it's evil.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Regardless of who said it, regardless of who does it. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loved us too much not to tell us the truth.
Amen.
You're going to see it. You're going to see a great separation this year. You're going to see,
yes.
And you're also going to see, I'm telling you, you're going to see the vengeance of God this year. You're going to see the vengeance of God this year openly displayed.
Indeed.
You're going to see God take some action against some things this year openly.
Yes.
It will be like the earth opening up and swallowing people. Okay, some of you don't believe me. I know you don't believe me. I know you don't, but you're going to see it. It'll be just like that, right there on the spot. It'll be like the day when Herod took praise and glory and honor from God, and his body was immediately consumed with worms, and he died.
those that will not fear mm-hmm. God and will not honor God, mm-hmm. you're going to see it. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Tammy?
In times past, this kind of has been like really, really overwhelming. Like, oh man, like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Heavy.
Heavy, yeah. But the example that Carmen read in Exodus about the midwives and them fearing God, and so the midwives were Egyptians, but they feared God. And so, even on earth now, we make the decision. We're making the decision. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Mm-hmm. 30. And I think that's verse 19 and 20. When we choose today to live in the commandment of God, meaning we choose to live in the blessing, then we're walking, then we're living in the right one, right in the right way. So when we're in the blessing, we're going to see the good. But as we're seeing the evil as well, we are in a position in the good
yes.
to pray for those
that's right.
who that evil is coming on. Because God doesn't want anybody
no.
to perish. He doesn't. So the goodness of this is that God's love, this is an opportunity for us to show his love.
That's right. Earth. That yes. is right.
We are in a position now, we have to.
We
like
have.
We can't say, oh, I got time. We don't have time.
No.
We got to do it now. And we got to show God's love. We got to live the love walk that God
yes.
has put us here.
That's
to.
Right.
And it starts in our houses first.
Yes.
And then we can go out to Samaria or to the greater parts of the earth.
Amen. I'm glad you said that, Tammy, because that reminds me of something Carmen said, and I don't have the exact word that she used, but one thing you do not want to do, you don't want to get into, what's the word, you don't want to, argument.
Right.
You don't want to get into
divisiveness. That was
you don't want,
word.
This is not about, I'm good. You're evil.
Right.
You know, you don't want to get sucked into that quarrel and that debate over
yes.
what you just want to walk in what's good.
Yes.
If you walk in what's good, God's going to convict people
uh-huh.
that aren't walking in what's good, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't want to get caught up in that, because it's real easy to do.
Yeah.
It's real easy
yes.
to do, to get caught up in that. But we've got to make sure that we don't, because where there's strife and all that, God's not gonna be in that. You can't accomplish anything good when you're
no.
in the middle of that. We've got to walk just like with Jesus. You know, he didn't argue with them. Jesus did not argue
Amen.
With them about anything.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, when we look upon them, the ones that we know, our heart needs to break and look upon them as the darkness that they are in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, come against the evil that's working through them and pray for their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was one of the last prophetic words I heard a couple of weeks ago, the Lord said, for his children, stand, do all that you're supposed to, come against the evil, but do not partake in the divisiveness. Do not get into the divisiveness.
Right.
If you feel yourself getting there, walk away. So your soul is
yeah.
calmed down. Because again, if we don't walk in love with them,
mm-hmm.
again,
mm-hmm.
we're not showing a difference to them.
Mm-mm.
So we need to look upon them with our heart broken. The other thing I wanted to make mention again, so that, because I think having this in our mentality
mm-hmm.
and being reminded of it always helps us to look at Israel with more strength and more decisiveness, is to remember that in the natural we call Jerusalem a city. Jerusalem is not a city. The war against Israel and her people is Jerusalem is the house of the Lord.
Mm.
That's why the enemy attacked. If you study out Jerusalem, it means the house of the Lord.
Mm.
It's the place to go worship. That's why the enemy fights that place.
Mm.
Israel, my chosen, it is a vessel. It's like I was explaining to a guy the other day that's a very good acquaintance of ours. He's a painter. And I was giving him the picture of vessel. I said, you can go on a paint job. And you need particular instruments to do different things. You get all the way to Charleston, and you're like, you forgot some of your instruments. You left them at the shop here in Columbia. There's a certain area of the wall that you may can use something else, and nobody will know that you use it, and that instrument will do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things that you have to have that vessel. You have to have that instrument.
Mm-hmm.
No other instrument will do. You have to wait till tomorrow. Israel is a chosen instrument.
Mm.
They were to bring salvation to the world, and they failed in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy still attacks them, because that will come back full circle. They are supposed to preach the gospel. That's why he attacks them.
Mm-hmm.
It's why he attacks us, because then God looked upon us to do it. So we got,
Christian,
as we go into this era now of divided, being divided, we need to remember Jerusalem is the house of the Lord. And we are instruments to preach his gospel, to show them the way to God. It's what Israel was supposed to do, and Israel will come back and do that. The circle will come full. But we need to remember those two things. It's a chosen vessel. No one else can do it. That's why God says, don't you touch it. That's the only thing I have in my arsenal that can do that specific thing.
God.
And you better not touch that instrument.
Mm.
And it'll be made clear as the days and these next years go.
And that's one of the pictures of that emblem. It's defined as a vessel. A womb or a vessel.
Yep.
Of that emblem.
A womb vessel and a coiled snake.
Mm-hmm. So let's study that out.
There's two things that I try to go to most of the time when I'm talking to people. Is, you know, James said be slow to speak and quick to listen. Okay. And God also says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and sound mind. So those two kind of go together. For the simple reason, when you're talking to someone, most people want to talk, so you need to listen. And I have to correct myself a lot of times with that. But he wants you, God, that's why James said be slow to speak, because people will pour out more to you if you listen than if you try to talk. And when they say something, and where God says, I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but a love of sound mind, that don't mean you're supposed to be scared to relay the word to them, because God says, my word will not be destroyed. It's for everlasting. So if you give them the word while they're talking to you, and you quote something to them, then they might ask you a question. Then it opens up for you to explain the gospel to them.
Amen.
Then, when you quit talking, and you don't think that word is not still in their mind when they leave. And that's how some people have been saved. And the person who was talking to them don't even know it.
Eternity
will
tell.
But God does.
Amen. Eternity will tell.
So right. And that's a lot of times what we do. Sometimes I have to slap myself because I'm talking too much. And bless her heart, sometimes I have to walk off from Carmen because I'm talking too much.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, and I have to go in the corner. Sometimes I go in the restroom. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that.
I know.
So that's what we get ourselves in trouble like that. But because somebody's doing something, and like she talked about in New York and all, God didn't give you a spirit of fear not to go against that.
Right.
You know,
speak up, have a voice for what's right.
Wrong, yes. In God's eyes, it's wrong.
Yes.
It don't make no difference what anybody else.
Yes. Like. Amen. Amen. So, the good news is that we have been given the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 The Holy Spirit's job is a defense attorney. He's the defense attorney.
Amen.
Okay? That's what it actually goes back in the original Greek. He's known as a helper, a teacher, a standby, a guide, but he's actually a defense attorney. He will come to your defense. He will help you. He will aid you. We have been given the Holy Spirit to help us so we can walk out this faith. Amen?
Yes.
We can walk out this faith. And we choose today that we're going to walk on the side of righteousness. Amen?
Yes.
And we do not fear. I do not fear this year. I do not fear that it is going to be a year of divide. What I most of all concerns me is to make sure, God, that I can snatch those over to the right side.
Correct.
That's my concern this year.
Yes.
Snatch them over to the right side. Why? How? By our godly living.
Yes.
By the way we live, y'all.
Yes.
And by being quick to repent in front of them when we do something wrong.
Yes.
Let them see it and know it. That I was wrong, I apologize, accept my apology, walk right before God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. Father, that this is a good word. Lord God, you said you do nothing unless you warn your servant first. Father, you are making us aware, God, those that fear you and want to walk uprightly before you, Father, that we have to walk carefully in this world. We have to walk circumspectly. We have to walk carefully, redeeming the time, knowing the days ahead of us are evil. So, Father, I thank you have given us your Holy Spirit to redeem the time, every opportunity, Father. And we choose today, God, that we will stand on your side, God. That we will stand on the side of your word, Father. And I thank you, Father, that there's a body of Christ in the earth today, God, that will stand on your side, that are true disciples. And we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for we know it is the power of God unto salvation. And with your help, Holy Spirit, we live out this gospel. We will be the epistle that people can read. We will be the Bible that people can read and come to know Jesus Christ. I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wait.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see if I can blow my shofar.
Because, see, I know this sounds so, you know, it is. It's a heavy message, but my God, if we don't know what's what, if I don't know what ingredients is in that cake, I might not eat it.
My God.
I need to know. But, the Lord just did something.
All right.
Because see, it is a great and terrible day, but we're on the great side. We're going to stand in awe. And the Lord just gave confirmation. I started to add to make another even number. The Lord said, don't you do that. Girl, look at that thing again. I love keeping y'all in suspense.
Yes, you do.
It's just like when I go to the bank and I need so much more money, I look at that deposit when I leave out and I'm like, Lord, you see what they said I got in there? The devil says it ain't enough, but I say, Lord, look what they said I got in there. With all the offerings today, in total, general, all the cash, the checks, what went in the river fund. Guess what the amount was today? 999.
Hallelujah.
No change. No, I started. I said, oh, Lord, I got to make that even 1,000. And he said, girl, you better look at that thing again. Don't you do that. 999. 3 9. 3 9. Woo! River of
the river doesn't. That was one of our channels.
That's right.
We've never lost River of Life. No. We ever say it, you are. We are not correcting. There is still a channel, Life.
Hallelujah.
Rivers International.
Hallelujah.
I have made a divide with you today, and you will cross through.
Woo!
And the enemy that would dare to get on the path that I designed for you, I will swallow them up, and they will no more chase after you in the name of Jesus. Woo! 999.
Hallelujah.
That is not by chance.
That's not by chance.
Woo!
You know what? We have decided to stand on the side of good. Amen. This body has decided to stand on the side of good, y'all. Because we love and do not walk in strife with our brethren. Amen. And because
Woo!
We've stuck together and been faithful.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Divided,
hallelujah.
Divided.
Tet, tet, tet.
Woo!
Glory to God.
It is